Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and happy holidays, whichever holiday you might be celebrating. Happy Hanukkah to those of you out there celebrating Hanukkah. Today, we're excited to have with us on the show Andrew Coe. Andrew Coe is a certified career coaching and training professional. He is an executive career coach consultant with Dragon Career Services and a career coach with Lee Hecht Harrison, and is as well a facilitator and training consultant with the Los Angeles Valley College. In addition to his consulting activities, he is involved with mission-driven work as the lead trainer and career coach for the Salvation Army Haven Veteran Employment Services. He also serves as an advisor for a technology startup in the career development industry. Andrew's professional background includes a 10-plus year career with a Fortune 500 company and leverages this corporate experience from a highly visible position to better serve his clients. Andrew is a certified global career development facilitator and holds other certifications in training, gamification, and emotional intelligence, as well as certifications from Dale Carnegie and Lee Hecht Harrison. He has a degree in marketing from California State University, Northridge, and when he's not working as a coach and trainer, he enjoys art and as a published artist has sold his work at many solo art exhibits around the world. And I hear, Andrew, that soon to add to this is author as well, right?
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Andrew. I know it's kind of embarrassing when you hear, I know when other people read my bio, I'm like, wow, you know, you're sitting there and you just have to kind of listen to it.
Right. Well, I'm never going to get such a great introduction like that ever again.
Oh, you flatter me. Okay, we'll have you back again on the show next year. Flattery is the way to my heart, as my husband knows. All kidding aside, though, Andrew, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. And you do have quite a few accolades that we're going to have to talk about today. But first and foremost, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how it was that you came to be a career expert and professional.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, it all started from back in my corporate background. At the large, in the corporate life, what I realized was, it wasn't my actual role was in the commercial sales and account management and all this. And what I got involved with a lot of the, extracurricular parts of the job, which was career development and leadership development and team building, all that. And that's when I realized that this is really what I enjoyed doing, right? So I made a conscious decision to leave the corporate world, and I left that all behind me. And I started out on my own career transition for myself into the coaching and training world, right? And so I'm really the poster child for that career transition, I realized this is what I want to do. And I set out and started doing it.
That's amazing. So
yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
And so I know for a lot of our listeners out there and some of my prior guests on the show, making a transition is not always as easy and effortless as we would like to imagine. I even personally, I don't know if you know this, a lot of people, when they look up my company website, JHCCS, it originally stood for J. Hills Career Consulting Services. And I'm not going to lie, I went out there for the first year in 2009 when I opened my company, and I meant to do career consulting as opposed to recruiting. And I failed miserably. I hated charging people money. And so I kept offering my services for free. And my husband's like, honey, we have to have a serious talk about this. You left your six-figure to go do this. So there's definitely things you don't anticipate. So were there any obstacles that you faced when you were making this transition?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a good question, because, I often get asked that question about, well, how do you do that? How do you jump tracks like that? And my answer is, well, Part of it is identifying, well, this is really what my spark is. This is what I really want to do, right? But the other part of it is just doing it, finding a way to just do it, right? And for me, it was volunteering. It was just finding a way to actually, cut my teeth and expand my network. And this is still something, that I say today. Networking is hands down the best thing that you can be doing, not just for your career transition, but for your career in general, your career, development, and even for yourself. right? So developing that network and also establishing yourself, getting knowledgeable in this, cutting your teeth, sharpening your skills. So by volunteering, I was both, getting the skills and I was building my network by doing that, right? And that just, it snowballed. One thing fell in place and another thing fell in place. And, I also talk a lot about personal branding because it was a combination of personal branding and managing my personal brand and my network, right? So, next thing you know, it's like, people started identifying me. It's like, oh yeah, Andrew Coe, he's coaching, he's training now. He's no longer in the corporate world. He's no longer, selling banking and insurance products. He's all about coaching and training and career development. This is what he's all about. And so before you know it, my network was working for me because of I was managing my personal brand and my active networking. People knew what I was up to, right? You have to let your network know what you're up to in order if they're going to help you, right? And so people were bringing opportunities to my attention. It's like, well, hey, I think you're doing this now. Would you be interested in this? I found this the other day. I thought of you. So that it happens just like that.
I love that. I think that's such a wonderful salient point that you bring up because your network, I remember Larry Binet, one of the most well-networked guys in the world, one time when we were at a conference together, said, your network is your net worth. And it's so true because once you have an established network that also, here's, I think, something important that we should, diverge here for a moment to discuss, that buys into your brand. Because if you have a brand that is working against you, or A, people don't know what it is you do, or they don't like your brand or don't like who you are as a person and how you occur to people, it can really hurt you if that's the reputation you get in certain circles, because then you have to undo that damage. And I know we see that all the time in the recruiting world, is you get people out there who know how to interviews or act inappropriately on the job, and nobody in town will touch them. And it's sad because I think everybody deserves a couple chances, but your brand can hurt or hinder you, in my opinion.
Right. And there
hurt or help.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some industries which are small, right? And people talk.
Yeah.
So
and
so be careful of that.
Yeah, I think that is a really good point, though, is for anybody out there who is considering transitioning, look at the people and look at networking. Do you teach anything about networking as well, Andrew?
Networking workshops. I inevitably talk a lot about networking in what I do, just with the coaching clients that I have and then, the training. I have an actual networking workshop that I've done in the past, but, networking just organically starts coming up and, when I'm talking to, with somebody in a coaching session talking about, okay, well, you're at a crossroads now, you can go down this way, you can go that way. What do you really, firstly, what do you want to do? Right. And networking is going to be hands down really important no matter really what you decide, because you need to develop those professional relationships. And I can tell you, one of the catalysts in my personal development was, I've been a long time member of Toastmasters, and Toastmasters is a wonderful organization. And I remember that the event I went was an officers training event, and I think it was Burbank or Glendale. And, I was there and I was just, my mind was on Toastmasters and doing this extracurricular thing because it was professional development, but I met someone there that was the catalyst for, everything I'm doing now, right? Because she introduced me to so-and-so, and then that so-and-so was the director of a special program that I ended up getting into, and it all fell into place after that. So, I tell people, it's like, sometimes you just have to, leave the house and do things that you're interested in, because you have no idea who you're going to meet. The universe works in wonderful ways. Movement creates movement. That would never have happened had I not left my house that day.
Yeah, sometimes it's just about getting up and doing something that's sometimes uncomfortable. And I think one of the most valuable lessons I know I personally learned when I started networking, I was that horrible schmuck who would run around handing out business cards to everybody she set eyes on, and people ran from me. I mean, they physically ran from me at the first networking event I went to. But then somebody once taught me that it's about finding out what matters to people. And there was a great quote that Richard Branson shared today saying, it's an Albert Einstein quote, strive not to be a success, but rather to be a value. And I would argue in the same way that that individual that helped you and helped spearhead and give you this foundation for everything you've created, that person was valuable to you. And I think that we all have the capacity in one way or another to be valuable to one another.
Absolutely. You know, I remember back in my corporate days, I had a mentor back then, and he, I remember sitting with him, we're just having a very, casual conversation in one of the conference rooms. And his advice to me was specialize in something, right? Specialize in something so that you are that guy that people can go to. It's like, oh yeah, Andrew, he's really good at such and such. And for me, that turned out to be social media, LinkedIn specifically, because I'm known as the LinkedIn guy. I get people contacting me all the time. And in fact, literally just today, somebody hit me up on my email and they're like, hey, do you think you can, do a training session for us? I was like, yeah, sure. This is, no problem. So that's it's funny how that all worked out.
Yeah. And so speaking of which, I know we're talking about networking, but going into 2018, one of the things I wanted to pick your brain on today is trends. How important is LinkedIn or social media when it comes to your brand in 2018? And is it, these are two parts questions, is it more or less important than it has been in prior years?
I can say with a lot of confidence that social media is even going to be more important in 2018 for job search. That's the way everything's going these days. More and more employers are checking social media, right? A candidate's social media presence. And I believe the stat was 70%. I think it's higher now. 70% of employers are checking out social when they're vetting a client, or not a client, a candidate, right? And I think it's over half have actually decided not to hire someone after screening their social media presence. So you want to be really cognizant about what you're putting out there, not just on LinkedIn, but Twitter and Facebook and anything else that you're using.
Yeah, I remember years ago, and again, it is a double-edged sword because even though despite 70% or more of employers are theoretically checking your profiles, 100% of them are not allowed to base it on any of that information.
Right.
And so it's this sticky, sticky situation that you find yourself in. But I think I've read some statistics myself where, again, if you have a picture, you're 10 times more likely to be clicked on. You could probably speak to that more clearly than I could.
Absolutely. Yeah, LinkedIn's not going to promote profiles that aren't complete. So yeah, I mean, it's actually gone up now. I think it's 14% more likely if you have a photo. So you want to have something there, right? You want to have, and there's actually a great site that you can go to for help with your profile photo. It's called photofeeler.com. And they're going to give you really great examples on what to do. And I did a fun moment in one of my workshops when I talk about, before we go into what to do, let's talk about what not to do. And then I go into the really bad examples of profile photos, right? So the profile photos of you holding beers to your face at spring break or something, probably not a good idea.
I want to make sure that our listeners got that because I even personally wanted to write it down. You said it's called photofeeler.com?
Correct, photofeeler.com. So there's actual real research on profile photos. And, it's a great read, actually. They give, plenty of examples of what to do, right? Not surprisingly, a smile helps a lot, right? And not just smile, but a 2D smile, right? We've all heard it before, smile for the camera, right? There's actually real data that supports that.
Wow. I know it does something to your face, I think, that it makes the muscles, I don't know, I'm not into the face reading thing, but I'm sure it does something to your face.
Yeah, and maybe it just humanizes you. People want to see a smiling face. And I would say, one of the coolest features of that site is if you're torn between a few different photos, like maybe one or two or two or three photos, you don't know which one to use, you can actually upload it to that site and you can get some feedback on those photos. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
God, that's amazing. Yeah, because I can't tell you how many times over the years I've coached job seekers where there's what I call the scary scowl and the sexy selfie. But then it was funny. I had a family member recently who was laid off, and this individual had a picture of himself, and it was like a very fun, lively action shot. But my experience has been, as fun of a photo as it is, it might be appropriate for Facebook, but as a potential employer, I'm not going to take this candidate seriously if I see something too, not frivolous isn't the right word, but just not, you don't want to be stoic, but you want to look approachable, but not like you're just going to party all day every day in the office.
You want to look friendly, but not too friendly.
I know, it's that fine line. So what are some of the tips that you would recommend if we have any listeners out there who are looking to either build their brand or they're thinking of making a transition in 2018? What would be some things that you would tell them to check out on LinkedIn or to do with their LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, if we're speaking about LinkedIn specifically, I would say, you know, and I work with, you know, clients and I talk about this all the time, and I actually facilitate the LinkedIn workshops for a lot of places too. You know, you want to focus on first, you know, developing your profile, right? You want to get the basics set up, right? But then you really want to think about, well, what is it that you want to do, right? I mean, there's a lot of account managers out there. There's a lot of project managers out there, but what about what you do? What are your skill sets that make you unique, right? So think about, what is your personal brand, right? What are you, your unique selling points? How do you want your network to know you, right? Think of your top three skills, whatever those might be, coaching, training, or, you know, business development, or, you know, team building, or whatever that might be. You want to think about what that is for you, because, you know, you want to make sure that these keywords are in your headline, or if they're in your summary, they're in your professional experience, because SEO is very relevant when it comes to LinkedIn and, you know, LinkedIn search, right? There's search engine optimization and there's LinkedIn search optimization. So you want to make sure that you're using the relevant keywords for what it is you want to do.
Yeah, I think that's important too. And I know one thing that a lot of people are confused about is, say you're out there and you know you want to do something else, but you're not quite sure what it is you want to do or what it would look like. I found one thing I've recommended to job seekers is that you can go online and actually look up people at your ideal company, see what their titles are, see what jobs they had before. And it's a very unique time in history where you can look up your highest competition. You know, back in the day, Monster was private and nobody could see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's you're essentially using LinkedIn like a database. You know, I mean, if you have a target company out there, you know, maybe, you know, let's say it's LinkedIn. You look up LinkedIn and say, oh, there's 11 or 12,000 employees that work at LinkedIn, and you're connected at some, you know, at some level to 200 of them. Well, who do we have in common? Who do we know in common? Maybe, you know, you've got a way that, you know, somebody you actually know, you know, is connected to them. Right. You can get introduced, or you can, you know, look at what their job title is, you know, look up that title, you know, how do, you know, what are they, you know, what words are they using? You know, how does their profile look? Right. You get some ideas on how that looks at least.
Yeah. And I think it's great too, because you can also see, like we were talking about, who you're related to and have ins there. I remember when my husband was job hunting, he had just wrapped up a project. And I told him one of my favorite features is just the post, just the status update. And he put an update. I said, honey, just put it in there that says, I just wrapped up a project. I'm available for work. And at the end of that week, he had 3 job offers.
That's amazing. That's great. I mean, that's the beauty of social media, right? Because sometimes it's not about who you know, it's who do you know and who do they know, right? So you put that message out there, someone somewhere in your network is going to see it.
Yeah. And I think it goes to speak to your brand as well. And there was somebody I was teaching a class like this to in Arizona. And he said, Jen, you know, I remember you told me to do this one thing in my profile and just to update my headline. And next thing you know, I landed my next job. And so there's little itty bitty things I think that you can do. So tell me, Andrew, from your perspective, speaking of the headline, how important is the headline and what should go in your headline when it comes to LinkedIn?
Well, here's my take on that. So your headline, it defaults to your current or most recent position, but it doesn't have to, because we're all more than our job titles, aren't we? Right?
Like, I'd like to hope unique. So.
Yeah. Or, you know, we're more than just an accountant. You know, we're more than a recruiter, right? There's things about us that make us unique and quite possibly more qualified for the job that we're applying to than somebody else. So you've got 120 characters of space to be creative, right? I encourage people to focus on your skills and your personal brand, and not just account manager or not just project manager, right? I mean, of course, it can be that. That's fine. That's what it defaults to. But maybe you want to think out the box a little bit. You know, are you bilingual? Do you specialize in something? Are you a certified such and such? Or are you an author, right? So think about these things. These are your unique selling points, right? This is your value add, right? Think about what it is that you do that differentiate yourself from your competition, right? And quite possibly these are key words that the recruiter might be using in LinkedIn to find talent just like yourself.
Yeah, I think it's so important because for those of you out there that might not be aware how a recruiter or an HR person at a company goes about searching on LinkedIn, we will put in our keywords we're looking for, and the only thing that's visible to us as we're searching is pretty much your picture and your headline. So it's important, right, like Andrew was saying, to capture our attention. And one of my favorite things to put on there, if you're not working, is available immediately. Because if I see that on somebody's LinkedIn profile, I'm going to be 10 times more likely to click on that than I am going to be trying to weed through people who I don't know if they're looking or not.
There you go. Straight from the recruiter.
Straight from the recruiter's mouth. So any other tips in 2018 exactly, or any changes you foresee with LinkedIn in 2018?
With LinkedIn changes, I know LinkedIn, you know, since Microsoft bought LinkedIn, I know they're going to try to get into the resume game, right? Because I know that was one of the first things that they had talked about. Because, you know, Microsoft with Word is, you know, one of the most popular platforms to create your resume. And now that, you know, Microsoft owns LinkedIn, I know they're trying to get into that, you know, the resume development game. So I don't think that's been it's not out yet, but I think that's going to be coming out in 2018. So keep an eye out for that. Other than that, as far as LinkedIn goes, you know, LinkedIn is constantly in flux, right? They're constantly tweaking things. You know, at the beginning part of 2017, actually, they had a huge change. So it's continuing to keep changing. So they're tweaking things, and they're always, you know, taking things away and adding new things. So we'll see what happens. But I know the resume thing is something that they've been talking about.
Oh, and I think that's helpful too. I mean, resumes have come such a long way from creating one from scratch or typing it out years ago to now you have millions of templates available online. And I think that would be fascinating to see how LinkedIn is going to marry their profiles with what you could do with a resume.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, that will be interesting. And, you know, yeah, and resumes are an important tool, you know, as I'm sure you know.
Are they becoming obsolete, though? That's a whole other question, because I feel like the resume in and of itself, I think, has such less power than it used to, because your LinkedIn profile and other social media profiles are so much more powerful. I mean, look at the cover letter. I remember 10 years ago, cover letters were still something that people utilized. And now 98% or more of myself and everybody I know of in the HR recruiting realm don't even read a cover letter unless you're talking about a 3-line email that you're sending to the employer who you're submitting your resume to.
That's right. You know, I hear it from a lot of employers and recruiters. You know, with resumes, you know, if they're not targeted or tweaked, you know, specifically for that job description, just in such a certain way that they make it past ATS, you know, applicant tracking systems are just going to filter it out. So, you know, they're constantly saying that they're just not getting qualified talent, right? Sometimes when the resume has been targeted to that job description. So, you know, a lot of times what the employers start doing is they just stop posting their top positions, and they hire an outside recruiter. Those outside recruiters go to sites like LinkedIn and start and looking for passive candidates. So that's why, you know, sites like LinkedIn are so important, because you want to be found by recruiters who are looking for passive candidates.
Yeah, and I think that one of the biggest trends I'm seeing in 2018, and that's going to be a continuing trend, I was reading some articles about gig economies and what that's going to mean, but more and more people are moving away from the 9-to-5 job, and a lot of the kids coming out of school right now, they're saying they can't fathom a traditional 9-to-5 job, or one of my clients said they were upset because somebody wanted like a ping pong ball table, and he's like, no, you got to come try it. You know, it's like, there's all these things, and so I think that employers are having to jump through hoops, including things like ping pong ball tables, flex schedules, et cetera, to capture this talent that it's like herding cats, just trying to catch one.
Right. Yeah, it's so funny that you bring that up, because the last article I wrote on LinkedIn that I published through LinkedIn was on the gig economy and portfolio careers. So yeah, there's a lot, there is a trend going that way. And it's not just, you know, Uber drivers.
Yeah, I think that, and even for Uber drivers, I remember I'm trying to educate my Uber drivers, hey, FYI, did you hear Uber just bought, you know, several tens of thousands of Volvos that are self-driving that they're planning to launch in 2019? So if you're out there and you're driving an Uber right now, you just might want to make long-term plans past 2019, because you just don't want to be a sitting duck, as, you know, as nice as it might be to make up your own hours now, but will there be other gig jobs available out there for people?
Yeah, we shall see.
So what else are you seeing in the market? I know that with Lee Hecht Harrison and the trainings and the career things that you do, have there been any other trends that you're seeing for job seekers in 2018 specifically?
Well, for job seekers, yeah. I mean, you know, Lee Hecht Harrison just this year, they came up with Ella, which is AI, basically. It's artificial intelligence. So we're starting to see, you know, a lot more, you know, artificial intelligence out there in the job market. Right. So Ella is basically, you know, predictive, like, okay, you know, based on, you know, what I know about you, we're going to suggest, you know, we think you're going to be interested in these jobs. So that's job search. But even in the workplace, you know, there's we're seeing a lot more AI in the workplace, you know, through the use of chatbots and things like that to take care and to handle a lot of your customer service type of issues. You know, it wasn't that long ago where I was trying to do something with my airline miles, and I ended up, you know, communicating with an automated, you know, chatbot type of thing, which was interesting, right?
I you know, commend you for trying that. I'm still nervous and I still pick up the phone just because I want to hear. I love that Alaskan Airlines, shout out to Alaskan. They have somebody in the United States who answers my call, and I'm like, thank God, I just need somebody to talk to you about this.
Yeah, I think it was an automated, you know, customer service rep, but I think they had names. And the funny part of it was, I was asking about my miles and what happens to my miles if I cancel my card. And the funny part of it was the chatbot's name was Miles.
Was Miles confused by your questions about Miles?
Yeah, it's like, well, how did the joke was, well, how did Miles feel about canceling, you know, your miles or your card? I think he took it well.
That's good. That's good. Now, so do you think that was a person, or that was just a complete computerized AI robot then?
I think it was a robot. I think it was a chatbot. Because it was really interesting how the, you know, it was just thinking and doing its thing anyway. But yeah, there's been a lot of talk about chatbots, you know, handling the customer service roles.
Yeah, and even I was at the grocery store the other day, and again, we're seeing less and less of live person check counter people mm-hmm. to check you out. And so I'm curious to see, I think for the people out there who might be looking at jobs of the future, I think technology is a definite way to get yourself out there. At least if you're tech savvy in some industry or another, you're going to be more valuable in the marketplace than somebody
Absolutely.
Who doesn't have those skills.
Absolutely. Yeah, technology definitely is you know, it's something to focus on. Absolutely.
And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the new salary law that's going into effect in California, at least. So I know for many of you out there in other states, I'm not quite sure how it's going in Europe or Asia or other parts of the world, but I know in the United mm-hmm. States in the last couple of years, the Equal Wage and Pay Act has been a very hot topic. And states like New York, and I believe it's been Pennsylvania, have already banned being able to ask people about salary. And mm-hmm. now, California, January 1, Governor Jerry Brown has jumped on that bandwagon. So what are your thoughts for how that's going to impact job seekers in 2018?
Well, I see it as a positive. You know, in all the, you know, the different hats that I wear, I've been educating my clients on that and saying, you know, it's like, hey, okay, they're not going to be able to ask you that question going forward. So yeah, I see, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is it's a positive thing because, you know, people are not going to be, you know, stuck in a certain salary bracket. But yeah, and you know, there could be other sides of the coin, right? That could not be so positive. So we shall see, you know, what happens with that.
Yeah, and for anybody out there interested, we're doing a talk tomorrow at, I think, 12:45 on Fox LA on the station to discuss it in further depth with the host of that show. Because for me on the recruitments end, and for all the job seekers out there, I kid you not, I'm spending probably 15 to 20% of my day just educating job seekers and employers about it. Because you still have employers who unwittingly are asking people, what were you making? And they're about to get themselves in trouble. But then on the flip side, I have so many job seekers, and I don't know if you see this, Andrew, who are just kind of out of the habit of so many years of how they've done things. When you say, oh, Bob Jones, how much are you looking for? Bob will say, oh, well, I was making $75,000 in my last job. And the whole point of this law is to protect people against that. So that way minorities and women and get people to equal pay. And it's just a very hot topic because you could be theoretically making $40,000 a year and say, okay, well, I'm going to ask for $100,000. And you, by all rights and legalities and so forth, are at liberty to do that. But then hypothetically, if you go into $100,000 a year job and you don't produce $100,000 or more worth of value, you're putting yourself in a precarious position to be laid off or terminated.
That's right. That's right. And you're essentially setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. And but on the flip side, it's a great win for many job seekers out there. We're already seeing huge inflations of salaries comparatively. I mean, it seems like it was just 2 or 3 years ago that we were coming out of the recession and people couldn't find jobs and were grossly underpaid. And so now I feel like the pendulum is swinging back the opposite end to an extreme, the other direction.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. So yeah, I mean, there's positives and maybe there's some negatives to it too. So, you know, we shall see about that.
I know, TBD. We're going to have to see how legislation plays out with all
yeah,
that.
TBD,
so,
indeed.
Anything else that you're seeing as far as trends on the employer end or changes in the marketplace in 2018?
Yeah, so I've been seeing a lot and reading a lot about, you know, different things to look forward to or to keep an eye out for. And so, you know, blind hiring being one of them. So, you know, they're hiding demographic information of candidates so that you cannot tell, you know, if they're a man or a woman, if their race, their age, anything like that, right, until they get to the interview stage. So I've been, you know, I've been hearing a lot about that. I've been hearing about gamification entering the recruitment and the hiring phase where, you know, there's apps which are, you know, basically used as tools for tests on candidates to see if, you know, to test their knowledge. But in the background, there are algorithms going on in the background, which are providing a sea of data to employers, you know, so that they can have that. And I think most importantly, though, you know, when you get to the interview stage, you know, people rarely hire from paper. They hire people who they can trust will get the job done in that role, right? Who can do that job. And I think personality is going to go real far. Right. It's, you know, you want to show them that you are a team player and then you will fit into that culture. Right. So, you know, communication and these soft skills are going to be really key going into 2018. And I think it's only going to be more and more important.
So what do you coach your job seekers on? If somebody says to Sally Smith that, hey, Sally, why should we want to hire you? What is your course of action when it comes to coaching candidates on a job interview question such as that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, behavioral interview questions are very popular, right? But I think what's key is when someone's asking you a question, that you want to demonstrate that spark, that passion. Why do you want this job? Why us? Right? You don't want them to think that this is just another job. You want them to know that this is something I'm mission driven. You know, your mission is what I'm mission driven for. This is really what I am all about, right? And let me tell you why, right? Having those examples of not only your successes and your skills, but this is why I want to do what you guys do. I want to drink your Kool-Aid. I want to join your team, right? you're doing exactly what I want to do. And being able to speak to that is going to be really important because they want, you know, these are people that you're going to be working with them 8+ hours a day, right? You know, you want to be that bright, shiny penny, right? Chances are sad, tired, and angry at work there.
Yeah, I think it's important. It all comes down to whether we're talking about the AI bots that are out there with the applicant tracking systems or whether you're in person in the interview. I think it all comes down to confidence and doing your due diligence.
Absolutely.
And going in there and being able to clearly articulate your value proposition as well as why it is and what it is about that company that has you be excited about the role.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is, you know, do your research, do your homework. You know, this is, you know, what, you know, this is what they do, right? You know, knowing what they do, this is what I have done in my professional career. And this is what I can bring to the table, right? Showing examples, you know, is that storytelling? Chances are probably is a lot of storytelling when you're in that interview, you know, telling the story of how you've done such and such, right? And maybe, you know, not for everybody, but maybe you follow that up with maybe Excel spreadsheets or a PowerPoint presentation of selling you. Because as I tell many of my clients, when you're in job search, you have a job. It's in sales and marketing, and you're the product, right? So it's all about selling you, the product of you.
Yes, isn't that the truth? As much as so many people abhor the word sales or trying to think of selling and marketing themselves, what you resist persists. And I find that the job seekers who resist telling themselves and resist the idea of having to look at themselves as a brand find themselves on the market for the longest time because they're not able to embrace what they can bring to the table and understand their value.
Sure. Right. Well, at the end of the day, you know, sites like LinkedIn, and not just LinkedIn, but really many social media sites, it's a tool really to sell and market your brand, right? And just like resumes, it's also a tool. It's a marketing document, right? So these are all tools that you use in your job search to promote yourself as a qualified candidate.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, Andrew, it's been so great having you on the show. I want to make sure we talk a little bit about your book, upcoming book, that is, before we wrap up. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the book that you're working on?
Yeah, so it's going to be called Leveraging LinkedIn for Job Search Success. It will be look for it probably in early part of next year, maybe February or March. And it's going to be all about LinkedIn, talking about, you know, just not even from the basic, you know, developing of your profile, getting into the advanced tips and tricks about, you know, how to, you know, use LinkedIn like a pro.
Yeah, and it's so valuable. I mean, obviously, as we've already covered on this show, LinkedIn is just becoming a dominant force in the job hunting market, even though it didn't start off that way. It started off as a networking site, which takes it back to our original point of how important networking is, social media or otherwise, in your job search. So aside from your upcoming book, what are other places that people can find information about you or your company or the services that you offer?
Sure. Thanks. So I have a website, it's yourbestselfcoach.net. But honestly, most people find me through LinkedIn. I don't even know why they have a website anymore. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm really easily found on LinkedIn. And I know when you Google my name, it used to be where my name comes up on the front page of Google. And, you know, the only competition that I had was another Andrew Coe, who's a doctor and says, it could be worse, right? But that was the only competition I have. But lately, I've found that I've actually gone to the second page now. So I think I'm losing popularity there. I'm losing space to the doctor.
You got to fight the doctor off. You got to use those algorithms and get yourself higher up there. But
right.
All kidding aside, Andrew, it's been such a joy to have you on the show today. And tune in next week. I know it's going to be Christmas Day live at 4 p.m. as usual. Or if you miss any part of the show or you want to check in later, just a reminder that you can always find the show on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes after the show, following the show, as well as on LA Talk Radio on the archive section. And next week, I'm so excited for this because this was one of my favorite and most influential books growing up that led me to have drive and ambition and to go after and following my own personal dreams is Think and Grow Rich. So some of the creators of the movie that just came out, Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, I believe the director and perhaps the producer are going to be joining us next week on the show to talk about the movie Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy. And it's a great show, a great movie with little vignettes and stories that ties into Napoleon Hill's book from about 100 years ago that is still one of the best-selling books worldwide. And I know had a profound impact on my life, and I'm intending that everybody will enjoy that show as well. So Merry Early Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating out there. I hope it's joy-filled and fun. And thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. It was a real pleasure. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
All right, take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.